I was looking at Twitter last week, and there was another complaint from a journalist about the quality of pitches from PR people. Again, they were bemoaning the approaches they get. And I'm sure if you've worked in PR for any length of time, you will have seen these kinds of complaints too. And I've got to put my hands up and be honest here as well. Full disclosure, when I was a news editor, I did the same. I moaned about PR approaches as well. What, though, if you're a journalist and a PR? Maybe that sounds like a dream position to be in, because you wouldn't have this conflict. After all, you could run every story you wanted to, right? If a client said, I want to put this particular story out there, you could do it straight away, right? Well, actually, no, because it's not quite that simple. Fahmy Lejadu is a journalist for some of London's newspapers and magazines and a PR, and she reached out to me recently to tell me about her story. Now, being a listener to the Public Relations podcast, the first thing I said to her was, come on the show and tell us how you approach this, because I think there's going to be a lot of people who are interested in this. So I'm going to play that interview in just a few seconds' time. I will also say that Fahmy isn't the only listener coming on since I started doing these chats with listeners. In fact, it's fantastic how many of you are reaching out. I've got people from the world of politics, showbiz, heads of agencies, and newcomers to PR as well, who I've never met before, coming on over the coming weeks. So thank you so much, listeners who are reaching out. I'd love to get you on too. If you want to join this conversation that we're having here, if you head to thepublicrelationspodcast.com, that's the website, thepublicrelationspodcast.com, and at the top you will see a link with the word guest on it. Click on that and you can see how I pick the guests that come on this show and how listeners always get top priority as well. So let's get to Fahmy, because this is a fascinating chat as we get inside the journalist PR mindset and how you can use skills from both sides to work together. I'm going to do part one today. Part two is going to come out later this week. And also, I'm going to sum up all the key points that I get from this chat at the end of the second episode. Here we go. I've been reading your bio, Fahmy, and you are both a journalist and a PR. You were shortlisted for a Young Journalist Freelance Award. You've gone on to work both as a freelance journalist and as a PR communications executive in London and the UK. And also, the other thing I'm slightly fascinated about, and I don't normally talk about research on this show because I like to talk about the sort of frontline techniques, but you've done a study on the PR potential of reality TV. So I am really looking forward to having this chat. First of all, very big welcome to you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Awesome. My dissertation was an interesting one because it was a literary analysis of the show Love Island, comparing it to Shakespeare and other early modern texts. And the PR angle on the show gets discussed in terms of people's images and reputations. But it is more of like a secondary part of it. I mainly just analyzed the heartbreak angle and betrayal angles.
There's so much about that, though, isn't it? Because the story, I actually did an episode earlier this year where I was comparing how Shakespeare himself used PR techniques that we can recognize today in his time. So there is so much crossover. But look, let's talk about you and your average day, first of all. You're a freelance journalist and a PR, which some people might go, well, that's in conflict. So how do you separate those in your head? How do you approach both of those roles differently?
Yeah, I think for an article, it really would depend on what I'm briefed with and how my pitch is shaped by the editor. But with an article, I guess the anatomy of it is a bit, it changes every single time. And I'm thinking more about descriptive language, context, statistics, legal issues as well, in terms of how I'm mentioning people and like getting my facts right and things like that. And I think with PR, it's interesting because the output and the end product, my name isn't on it that much. I'm not going to get a bunch of trolls from, well, I mean, hopefully not. I'm not going to get a bunch of trolls after sending one.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I'm not going to get trolls from like one press release or social media post for my client. So it's a bit more invisible and a bit more subtle. And I feel like in a way with structuring a press release and things like that, it's a bit easier because it's quite clearly defined. Whereas with journalism, I have to switch on my creative brain as much as possible and work within the parameters I'm given. So I think in a weird way, there can be a bit more freedom in PR in the sense that you sort of know what you have to deliver. And with journalism, it can be a bit more open-ended.
I think this is always a really interesting discussion, though, because you know, I've said this before on the show, is I think having journalism experience is incredibly useful for PRs, because a lot of PRs send the most appalling press releases and pitches to journalists because they don't understand what journalists need. So you must find that actually helps you, because you're looking at the PR story as what is a news story as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm trying to figure out what the publication wants. What types of stories do they cover? Have they covered something in my press release? How can I maybe tweak my pitch or press release in a way that would sell a different angle or say something different? And I think in that way, I try as much as possible to not just give them a bundle of facts that they don't really care about, or just random information they're going to just look at and go, well, how am I going to use this? Just delete it from inbox. So I try and make it as relevant as possible. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but really just trying to tailor and send stuff to the right people so I don't piss people off, basically.
So for PR people that haven't got any journalism experience, I mean, I've talked about this endlessly, so I'm not going to bore people with my thoughts again. Let's get your perspective. How would you approach, or how do you approach, a PR story with more of a journalist head on? What sort of techniques or ideas could you share with people?
I think reading can be quite a big part of this as well, in terms of you can read similar stories by a journalist to see how you might craft the pitch in a way that would appeal to them. Maybe stalk their social media to see opinions and biases they might have and exploit them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, try and see how they think and what makes them tick. That can be quite helpful. And just trying to get to know, well, I mean, it's difficult because there's always a time crunch and it's tough, but trying to get to know who you're actually sending the idea to so that you can frame it in a way and say, hi, there's this piece. I saw this piece you wrote on blah, blah, blah topic, which is quite similar to this. Anyways, on behalf of my client, and then you can sort of channel things in that way.
I agree with you. Connecting with things that people are already talking about is always such a powerful way of doing it, because you know then that they're already interested in the topic, and also you know that they like that angle too. You know, you're basically reinforcing their own belief in that point and telling them they're right by giving them more information to justify it. And we're all human, aren't we? We like that sort of stuff. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it was interesting as well what you said about your... Sorry, say again.
If they don't accept the pitch or they don't want the idea, they might still open it because it's probably going to be relevant.
Yeah. The other thing you said was about your sort of study of the literary aspect of this, actually. And I'm interested in this because the way that you construct a story as well, how much are you using storytelling techniques in your approach to PR compared to journalism?
I guess with PR, there's going to be a boundary and a slight negotiation between your expertise and your sort of sense of direction with with how you want to take their information and what the client wants you to do and how much information they want you to put through or the topic they want you to discuss, which can be quite tricky because you might tell them this topic, I don't think anyone wants to write, you know, I don't think anyone will write anything on it. And they might come back and push really hard on it and say, we still want to pursue this. And you're stuck there with this idea that you've...
Yes. that you know is not going to go anywhere. Yes.
But you're kind of like just thinking, how am I going to actually reframe this or rebrand this in a way that's going to make sense? So I think, that negotiation is a constant effort. And I think with the storytelling techniques, you can do your best to set the scene and like bring in context and make things appealing and make things punchy and make things really snappy, but sometimes there's also only so much you can do as well.
I think one of the problems I always had with press releases was that we've all seen these, is that so many of them are just literally adverts. They're not even a story, and people have, you know, if you want the press to cover you, you've got to help them write a story they can actually use.
Yeah.
It's just used no, to definitely. Do my head in that.
Yeah, definitely. I think an issue as well, if I can offer some kind of olive branch between the journal PR divide and wars that have been going on for I don't know how long.
The beginning of time, I think.
The beginning of time.
From the clay tablet in ancient Egypt. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. The two professions are incredibly time poor. Everyone is kind of battling against the clock, whether you're a PR professional or you're a journalist. You're doing your best to meet the deadlines, and it means that your attention span and what you focus on can actually be quite limited. On the PR side, your attention span can determine like errors in the press release or errors in your emails, which might piss people off. On the journalist side, you have like, I don't know, 1,000 emails a day or however many to get through and read through. And it means that some ideas just maybe will never get looked at, or you actually just become more frustrated and a bit more snappy and yeah, exhausted really. So I think on both sides, it's a bit of a difficult one. Because we're both, I mean, it could be like a symbiotic thing, but often it feels like a clash because of the slight
It's the different goals, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah.
I mean, as much you can do to help that journalist write the story, I mean, the more chance you're going to have, aren't you? And it's interesting, you mentioned about the press releases there, and I keep having this debate on the show about press releases, whether they're dead or not. And I was having an interesting chat with a chap the other day who was saying that it depends on the industry. And I think that probably is very true. You know, particularly in the sort of more niche media spaces where there's less press releases arriving. But then if you talk about a national politics or some kind of national newsroom, they just don't have time to read these stories. It's almost pointless sending a press release unless you've developed that personal relationship first. What's your feeling about press releases and your experience?
Like he said, it's very easy if I know someone to get them to open it.
Yeah. Makes all the difference.
It's for them, it makes a really big difference. I think there's all sorts of different complaints and people saying different details, or it must be just one page, or it must be XYZ, or it must have X number of images. But I think at the end of the day, the personal relationships probably matter more, and just the general luck, timing, persistence, which again, it's a weird one because I think in the PR journalist slight conflict, there can sometimes be the idea of a PR person as this sort of mosquito like buzzing and like,
what do you mean, sort of idea? No, that's how journalists
buzzing and disturbing every single journalist they can find, and forcing. There's an idea of PRs as more forceful and stuff like that, but I think at the end of the day, everyone's just trying to do their job, and some people are better at it, some people have less personal relationships, and I think people are just trying to figure it out really. But I try not to take it too personally when I see the latest rant on Twitter about, look what I saw in my inbox.
You know, I think the most successful PRs, and you can see this across the decades, are the ones that work with the press, are the ones that basically help them do their job rather than trying to push a story at them. And, you know, that often does mean massaging the story and reframing it and trying to get the clients to understand that if they actually want coverage, it's got to be written as a news story rather than as an advert. And that's the hard battle, isn't it, at times?
Yeah. And I think a flexible client is one that allows you to actually do your job and be more successful, because it gives you more space and more opportunity to change and adapt the story depending on, you know, and that makes it more easy to sell as well.
Yeah,
it's not fun if it's not fun if the brief is quite narrow and then, you know, it's not working and you have no other choice because you've been told that that's the only way you can you know, push it forward. But
yeah, particularly when you put your journalist head on, you go, I wouldn't use this.
yeah
that's the problem.
It's difficult because you could really help someone do their job, but at the same time, if you tried and pitched to a certain amount of journalists, a certain amount of publications, there's only so much you can do. You have to either go back to the drawing board, try later, or just abandon that idea entirely. But sometimes on the client side, there might not be that cooperation.
So that was Fahmy Lejadu. Let me spell her name for you so you can find her on Twitter or LinkedIn if you want to. Her Twitter account is FUNMICREATES. And her surname, if you want to search for her on LinkedIn, for example, is LIJADU. So that's FUNMILIJADU. And of course, this will all be in the newsletter next week as well. There's some really great points in that chat so far. Part two, as I say, coming later this week. I personally think it can help so much if you've been a journalist or at least spent some time in newsrooms. I would actually be fascinated to know if you did some kind of formal PR training or if you did a course or whatever it was you did. How well do they teach the journalism side of it, the journalism mindset on those courses? I would love to know, because I never did that, so I would love to know what your personal experience was. Did they do it well? Did they help you really get into that mindset, or was it very much focused on how to talk to your clients and how to just push it out as hard as possible? Part two of the chat with Fahmy is later this week, and she's going to share her insights into Love Island, the reality TV show, and some of the things you may not realise about working with reality stars. A hint is that there could be opportunities here and also big pitfalls for any size of business or organisation, from global corporations to small business. So I hope you're having a good start to the week. Part two, later this week. I'll speak to you then.